again. To kill the class, yeah, tell me your name. It's now the time. We grow with each other every day. It's beyond us now. Can't control ourselves emotionally. This is our life. You went on to find your way. You went on to find. You went on to find your way. You went on to find. You went on to find your way. You went on to find. You went on to find your way. You went on to find. You went on to find your way.
Welcome everybody to a very special edition of the Real Mentors Podcast. We normally talk TV, movies, have some fun along the way. And today we're continuing our part two of our retrospective look in cinema. Per decade, we did the 80s a couple weeks back. We're going to do the 90s now. We want to go ahead and wish everybody a happy 4th of July. We're actually taping this a couple days before, but we're going to release this during that time. So I hope everyone's having fun, fireworks, barbecue, all that good stuff. Of course, joining me today to talk about this great age in cinema was 90s. It was actually a surprisingly excellent era of movies when I went back and started researching and all that. Of course, we got a regular co-host, of course, the man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rose.
How's it going, man?
Doing good, brother. You ready, man?
I'm ready.
Yeah. What do you do for July 4th? Are you a barbecue kind of guy? Yeah, I think you are.
I'm a barbecue guy. Yeah. But I don't know this year because it's on a whack day, like Tuesday.
I know, dude.
So it kind of, I got to work Monday. So
yeah,
I
hate that.
It's like, then you got to work the next day too. So it's like, you can't really tie one on or anything like that. So it's just one of those things. How about you there, Sniffles McCoffee?
Sniffles over there. Those Sniffles are brought to you by Chewy, joining us live from Houston. How you doing, man?
My apologies to the GirlLife.com studio host. I just finished eating and it was a little spicy.
Apparently, Chewy and his snot are co-hosting with us here today. Thank you for that.
Let me add in, there will be no salads on my grill July 4th.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with grilling vegetables, all right? I'm going to stand by that, okay?
Is that you?
Yeah, what's wrong with grilling some vegetables? Veggies are good, man. I had some churrasco and all that, too.
Oh, so you did roll with churrasco?
Of course. Yeah, okay. But I have some veggies. Nothing wrong with it.
July 4th thing? Is that your July 4th go-to? Are you throwing a barbecue this July
4th? I might. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm doing, to be honest with you. Again, same thing. Work Monday, work on Wednesday, so whatever.
Is your girl a good cook?
She's okay. She's not bad, but I do the grill.
My wife is an amazing cook.
not bad. That's not a ringing endorsement, brother.
Well, she's not, she ain't Chef Ramsay. No, you're wrong.
No, but my wife is Chef Ramsay.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's really good.
Oh, okay. Then you're lucky.
But I do the barbecue.
Oh, so. Yeah, okay. Like, barbecue is generally a guy thing. I know it's not a sexist remark. It's kind of the truth. Guys like to grill. This is how it is.
What's your hook of choice?
Oh, man. I love good churrasco. I got to throw a churrasco on the grill. Yeah, I don't like chicken. It takes too long.
No. And it doesn't cook evenly. I know.
I'm always afraid. Like, yeah. One side's going to be great and the other half is going to be pink. So I stay away from it.
I'm a churrasco guy, yeah. But I also do some good chorizo. So
Yes, chorizo. And, of course, the burgers.
What's nice is you throw some chorizo on the grill first. You buy some of those Chicago hard rolls, and you do choripan right there.
Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah. And it's the truth. I always start with that, like appetizer, and right. Then I toss in the churrasco, and then we got sides, right, of course. I do roast the corn on the barbecue as well. Wrap
I
it
like
up.
That.
And,
I like yeah, that.
Love that. True. What are you, man? I know you're a barbecue guy.
That's a youth fair deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my son is a rib, so slap on a nice set of ribs on there, dude.
That's nice.
What kind of rub you put on there, dude?
I just do a mixture of salt, pepper, adobo, other onion salts, and other seasonings. I don't go too exotic.
God, I haven't eaten dinner. You guys are making me hungry as hell, man. This is bullshit. I'm starving. We're taping a couple of shows back to back, so I'm not having eaten. Oh, God. But no, like, ribs is good. I haven't tried ribs yet. I want to try that. I'm always afraid I'm not going to do it right, though.
I do all right with ribs. Yeah. You know what, though? A secret, just kind of a trade secret, and I don't know if Chewy does this or not, but I generally cook the ribs in the oven for a little while before I throw them on the grill because you cook it on the inside, and that way you don't have to worry about
cooking all the way through, right, and all that. Right. Okay.
And especially if you're having people over, you don't want to be that guy that has.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare do ribs if people coming over. Right. It's just me and my girl. Okay, I'll do ribs. This experiment, but people coming over, burgers. churrasco, hot dog. It's simple stuff. You know,
it's really not that hard, dude.
Well, I never done that, so I don't know if it's hard or not.
Am I right with that chewy with the oven first?
You oven or boil it? Okay. Either or. I mean,
yeah. That's fair. I mean, and then, you know, of course, after barbecue, I know chewy.
You throw it in the barbecue, it's better that way. I think to me, you know, the barbecue kind of finishes. It's a finisher, right, when it comes to that stuff. So that's what I like.
I'm going to try one these days. I want to get into the ribs. I love ribs.
I love ribs, too. But I have to be in the right mood for ribs.
It takes a while.
I'm always in the mood for churrasco.
Oh, churrasco, that's all day, every day. That's obviously. From Chewy, I know Chewy very well. He will take that churrasco, he'll eat it like a sandwich because he loves sandwiches.
Now, Chewy, do they have like a Sedanos down there or something?
No. Well, they got plenty of these little Mexican kind of quesadillas around. This is Texas, dude. You can get good cut of meat anywhere.
Well, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
This is barbecue country, dude.
Excuse us. Yeah.
What about Hispanic vegetables, stuff like that?
No. There's a fiesta, so that's tailored to the Hispanic clientele. So yeah, you can get. Yeah, I can actually. You know, it's like going to Miami and getting any Colombian food that I want. I can go to the fiesta and pick that stuff up.
Hey, down here, and I know you haven't been here in a while, Chewy. Publix kind of, I guess Sedano scared Publix a little bit because Publix went with that Sabor grocery store it's a Publix, but they do it more Hispanic, toward Hispanic customers. And then when Dixie's done the same thing with Fresco y Mas, which is what they're doing too.
Okay.
But, you know, Sedano's, man. You can't beat Sedano's.
Sedano's is like, for those out there who don't live in Miami,
right.
It's basically, it's a supermarket catered to the Latino persuasion, if you will.
But it's not just Cubans. I mean,
everybody, yeah, of course. A lot of spices that we use in Latin American cooking, a lot of vegetables, like it'll be cassava, we call it yuca, plantains.
But like they have like root vegetables that are like malanga that you can't find at Publix. So you can't get malanga.
No, so that stuff you can get. Yeah, I agree. And you only get in this area or a specialty store like Chewy said, one he has over there.
And then they have avocados avocado, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That is like ready to eat. Where you go to Publix and the avocado feels like a goddamn softball.
You gotta wait to eat it 2 weeks later. But you know, like I said, we love barbecue, and this is the time for barbecue.
I didn't mean to digress.
It's Independence Day, but hey, man, it's July 4th. You can't talk July 4th about barbecue and all. You just can't.
Right.
So obviously, now I'm really hungry, Jesus. But let's move away from that as my stomach growls. Let's get into the '90s, man. You know, this is with the '80s. Obviously, we talked about the era of Exodus. '90s, I think for me, has its own identity as well. Obviously, moving away from the Ronald Reagan and Bush era, which dominated the '80s, and we got into the Clinton era for the 8 years of the '90s and his White House sexual shenanigans, if you will. Tonya Harding was on that time. Those who are familiar with that,
he didn't inhale.
He didn't inhale, and I didn't get into that. But we had the juice was loose in the '90s. We had OJ the biggest fall from grace ever.
Speaking of that, highly recommended is that OJ documentary, the one that won the Oscar.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, and because I mean that's funny because that happened in the '90s, but it's so relevant now because we had the couple documentaries, we had the TV show on FX. That was last year. Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was okay.
But they're still talking about it.
The documentary itself was fantastic.
Yeah.
The backup to this, the run up to where what kind of put OJ, what was ironic about the whole OJ thing was really great. The history of a conflict between cops and African Americans in the LA area.
Well, yeah, because
it's just a bunch of
it really, really is because the LA riots obviously in that time.
Showing the dichotomy though of somebody like OJ Simpson trying to play the race card when he was all about not playing the race card his entire life up to that point.
Yeah.
So it was just to me was very. they did a wonderful job with that documentary, and I highly recommend it. I know it has nothing to do with the 90s, but it does because...
Well, it kind of does, because that's one of the big events of the 90s.
It was a huge event of the
90s. Yeah, huge event in the 90s. You know, obviously L.A. riots and the, you know, Ronnie King and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, things like Unabomber and the tragedy you roll on there. So, I mean, but 90s went all bad, and I don't want to paint that picture. And every decade has shitty shit. But, you know, we had Michael Jordan dominating not just basketball, but the sports world. Is most, probably the most famous athlete of all time.
Remember his ill-fated trip to the Chicago White Sox double-A team.
Despite that little two-year gap, he still dominated in the 90s.
Right.
Seinfeld dominated TV. It's one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. The last decade for great sitcoms, in my opinion.
There just isn't a sitcom anymore.
That's what I'm saying. That was like the last decade for sitcoms.
I wouldn't consider The Office or... Arrested Development, which are both very funny. Veep, another one.
This is good.
They're not typical. Sitcoms.
Yeah, they're not typical sitcoms. I agree.
I don't even consider The Goldbergs a sitcom, and that's a pretty good show.
I like The Goldbergs.
No, it is, but I don't think it's a sitcom.
I mean, it's a comedy, but I mean, it's just it's like the 90s were the last period where you saw like this live studio audience typical kind of comedy that you were used to for years.
But you get kind of a. You know, it's funny the impact that the British Office had on American comedy TV is the face, the talking head spots and things of that nature.
That kind of mockumentary style.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But again, that's something that we say goodbye to. I think it was so good. But besides that, we also had, Michael Jordan dominated. We talked about Michael Jordan already. For me, the best era of music was the 90s.
Right.
At least one of the best era, and I think it was the last great era of music. We stripped away all the excess in the hair, the big hair, and the flashy clothes and the leather outfits, all that crap. It was more the flannel shirts, the ripped jeans, the grunge era alternative, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, STP, and a slew of other bands. We had the emergence of hip hop as a serious art form, I guess. It obviously developed in the 70s and 80s, but we had some of the best classic hip hop from the 90s, whether it be, and the biggest stars, Dre, Tupac, Biggie, Eminem, Jay-Z, Snoop, all came from the 90s era, whose names are still relevant now, 20 years later.
But they're still relevant because the music that they did is still huge now.
Of course.
So that music, I think the new music is killing us, honestly. It's just not as good.
No, I agree. It's definitely...
I don't want to sound like I'm that guy.
I agree. I mean, maybe it could be an age thing. We're all a little bit older. Maybe that's the case. But
I don't know.
I think the 90s were definitely the best era of music, period. But definitely the last great era of music that we have. The 2000s just didn't... I don't know. For me, it just didn't work. And that's just me. But more importantly, though, for me, I think this will really define a decade, particularly in cinema, for everything. Worldwide was... Let's face it, the 90s were about technology, advanced technology. I think we saw so many things, whether the Laserdisc, CDs, and whatever.
Yes.
And, we had introduction. Of course, the cell phone, came to play, by late 90s, everybody pretty much had a cell phone, which led to the smartphone era we have now. But anything else, it was the creation, probably the most influential and game-changing invention, for lack of a better word, was the internet, the World Wide Web, something that affected every aspect and affects every aspect of life, whether it be education, communication, e-commerce, business, of course. 90s, the .com thing especially blew up. And let's face it, everything's about the internet. Everything, whether it be social media, and it all stems from the 90s. And it was such a game changer. The world was never the same, obviously. I don't think I'm overstating that. And I think that technology, I think, what defined 90s movies as well. Without a doubt. There was also, we'll get into as far as an independent movie movement that started in the 90s.
Right.
Which, it's big, huge, but it's the technology. Obviously, the birth of CGI and how movies are made, it changed forever.
Well, I think what it is the 90s kind of fostered the Sundance and the South by Southwest film festivals.
Yeah.
Which were, they existed in the 80s, but in the 90s is when it really took off. And also the foundation of... being able to watch these movies and having alternate mediums to watch movies other than going to the movie theater.
Exactly. And those movies that were independent became successful. We'll dive into some of those movies later. But again, it's all technology. I mean, CGI, we're talking like it was the birth of Skynet here. But CGI, I mean, it's changed the way we see movies, changed the way, you know, it does, how movies are made and how they approach making movies now, particularly in these days.
I hate overdoing, you know, CGI.
That's, but it's become, for better or worse, it's become what it's become. But, I mean, yes, the directors now can give us a better vision that this world building that they can create with CGI and stuff we can never see back then. The movies we see now were never, ever could have been made in the 80s, even early 90s.
Some of them you wish weren't made.
Wish one there, I agree. And I said it was a game-changing situation. It's a game-changing era. And some of the movies we're talking about are game-changers. Chewie, when you think of 90s, just real quick, nothing specific in terms of movies, but what 90s for you, what if you define the 90s, what would it be besides technology? I mean, technology could be the one you talk about, obviously, but...
I think it was emerging. I mean, I think the proliferation of just the big budget, you know, like you said, directors could now put the, they didn't have to recreate it, but they can computerly generate their vision for movies. You know, one of six out, for example, Jurassic Park, you know, seeing dinosaurs, you know, CGI, but it was just that feeling of seeing things that they couldn't do before, would look cheesy before. Now in the 90s, it's like, nah, this looks actually real.
Yeah, and you're right. And it was well done. Like I said, I think we're able to see so much stuff that for us was new. I mean, because we grew up in an era where we were alive in the 80s and we saw movies in the 80s, and for us, what a huge difference. Yeah, kids now are used to it.
80s was all, you know, models or puppets or clay. Or claymation. Yeah. Now it's like, okay, yeah, we've gone beyond that to like, no, we can generate a computer and make it look so real, like you think it's real.
Of course, even like in just recently, we got, you know, Rogue One, they gave us a CGI character, for Christ's sake, a human character, which didn't look perfect. But considering what it gave us, it was pretty damn good.
Right.
And it started all in the 90s. But I think no genre, and we'll start with this genre, because I don't think any genre was affected more by this new technology than the era of animation. I mean, literally, technology made hand-drawn animation. It was like the asteroid that destroyed the dinosaurs. This is basically what it was. I mean, it was. I mean, animation, you talk about a game changer. And it's funny because, like, and animation, obviously, we'll get into that in a second, but earlier it was dominated by Disney and hand-drawn movies. Obviously, Disney had the renaissance beginning in 89 with Little Mermaid. Then we jumped to 1990 with Beauty and the Beast. And from there, it was Aladdin,
Lion King,
which, you know, is deep, to me anyway. Or, I mean, it's arguable, but I think more people agree is the greatest animated movie of all time, at least in the last 30 years anyway. And it's amazing. We have Mulan and Hunchback Notre Dame and you name it. A slew of movies that came out with hand-drawn. But let's be realistic. Even a movie like Nightmare Before Christmas, which is kind of an animated movie, it's stop motion. But it all, I think, begins, they talk about one of the most influential movie of the time, I think, one of them anyway, is Toy Story.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, this is, you know, it's Pixar's, you know, emergence into the spotlight. Toy Story was such a freaking game changer. We had never seen anything like it. And what it led to, now obviously Pixar hit home runs from that point forward for the most part until recently. But man, Toy Story, it looked so great. And from then, every movie was CGI. You know, you had a few hand-drawn movies because obviously they were being made. But once it hit the year 2000s, I think the only movie I can remember was maybe one or two, that the one, The Prince and the Frog, that was actually hand-drawn. Everything else is just computer animated. And DreamWorks came into play with their studio with animated movies and CGI and all that. But Toy Story is a great movie. I mean, I put it as, I think
Pixar dominates that field.
It dominates. It's not even close. It's Pixar and everybody else. You know,
Pixar's thrown very few. But I mean,
yeah, very few. Go ahead, Chewie.
But anyway, it just wasn't. It looked good. I mean,
it was a
great movie, even if it wasn't CGI.
I absolutely agree. I think. I mean, I want to put ahead of, in terms of pure film, Lion King's still the best one, but I think Toy Story is the best one in terms of what it impacted. Not only was it a great movie, it was a great movie. It's funny. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen at the top of their game.
Right.
Phenomenal. Funny as hell. And it was geared more towards adults than kids. It's a kid-friendly movie, but it's really a lot of adult themes. And, you know, we understand the whole thing about the toys because we were young once and we played with toys, so we know exactly what that was about.
And I think we had most of those toys.
Yeah, I know we did. Right. Etch a Sketch and Potato Head, and, you know, the Slinky. Mike had Tillywinks back in the day, you know.
Yeah, the singing spell or
oh, that's right. Speaking of Simon. Great toys. Lightbright. I didn't have Lightbright, but I don't know that commercial.
How many of those toys did you have, by the way?
I didn't have a Lightbright.
No, but I'm saying, how many toys did you have that you never used? Like, you got it?
I used it because I was more of an action figure guy. We grew up in Transformers and G.I. Joes and, you know, all that crap, you know?
We have a great picture of him and Mr. Top 10 playing G.I. Joe.
Yeah. I think we were in fifth grade. That's how far back me and him go, but we were playing G.I. Joes and all that great picture.
Yeah.
But Toy Story was a phenomenon. It was a great movie. It obviously led to one of the greatest trilogies ever, in my opinion. That was such a game changer. Am I wrong in saying it's the best one of the decade? Best animated?
I think you're close.
Yeah. I mean, I could argue Lion King as a film. But no doubt, it's got to be Toy Story. Moving on to comedy. This surprised me. I didn't think there was this many good comedies in the 90s, and I was wrong about that. We'll start with Chewie. Chewie, name some comedies that came to mind or that you saw run across as far as the 90s, as far as worthy of being discussed.
Well, first that comes to mind is definitely early 90s Groundhog Day.
Yes.
I still watch that today, and I feel it's still just as funny as the first time. It's like, that first step, it's a doozy.
Bing.
Phil Connor?
That movie's classic. Side of the eyes. That movie's phenomenal. Yeah, it's such a good... Yeah, and you're right, it holds up perfectly today as far as I'm concerned.
It holds up today. It's up there for the 90s.
It's hard because I really couldn't think, and it's a testament to how good these movies were. I could not single out one comedy and say, oh, this is the best comedy. I couldn't do that. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. Mike, anyone you want, any things that come to mind?
You know mine. There's just a lot of great comedies in the 90s. I mean, you just have to...
You mentioned Days of the Confused earlier in a pre-production. Great movie.
I liked that a lot.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's true. The early before the reconnaissance. I think
Office Space
as well. But to mention Office Space was great.
Office Space. That's a
great movie. Great. Could you come in on Friday?
I think you're gonna have to come in
inside. That would be great.
Would you consider Home Alone a comedy?
No. Well, yes, but No. Yeah.
I got one for you. Friday.
Yes, I have it on my list.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my god. Yes.
Fantastic. So that one came out of nowhere. That came out of nowhere. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker, and that sprung his career.
Hey, Big Perm.
Yeah, Big Perm, Big Worm, Big Perm.
3 minutes. Big Worm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The black of the dirt, the sweet of the juice. That's a great.
3 minutes. Maybe four.
What's a little midget? This little person, whatever, PC. I forgot his name. He was a bad Santa. He's great.
Bernie Mac in that movie.
Bernie Mac.
We was just playing.
That movie's so good. It's underrated.
Pig's feet.
Hog moss. Every time I'm in the kitchen, you in the kitchen. Goddamn refrigerator. That's just a great movie.
Mr. Postman, run!
Right, yeah. That movie's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. I think Mrs. Doubtfire, which I love, came out in the 90s. Wayne's World, which I thought was great. My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
That movie is fantastic.
Yeah. The two youths.
I mean, that's classic. And Tomei and Joe Pesci, of course. Yes. Austin Powers, both of them came out. The first two, which I thought were great. There's Something About Mary. I think it's hilarious. Oh man, that movie gets me every time. I don't know what it is. It gets me every time.
Chris Elliott's very good.
He's great. American Pie was a good one. Yep. Worthy of Big Lebowski.
I don't know if that's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
It's kind of a.
It's a comedy. Gun to your head, it's a comedy. It's still a comedy, but it's great though. I love the Big Lebowski.
I think it's a great movie.
White Man Can't Jump. I saw it recently.
That's not a comedy.
Yeah, such a good movie.
That's a comedy.
I'm going to see Sizzler.
Great. That movie's so good.
Is there even a Sizzler anymore? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know. Man. Talk about getting extinct, that did. But that movie is great. Woody Harrelson, of course. Wesley Snipes. Oh, great movie. City Slickers. Yeah. I always enjoyed it. You know. Hello.
Yeah, Billy Crystal. Yeah.
That movie's funny. That was a good movie.
I have one. Oh. I'm not sure if it's a comedy, but I think it's hilarious. Would you consider Clerks a comedy?
You're like in my head, yes. Dude, because I was about to mention two movies. No, you're right. Because there's two movies, and we talk about the whole independent movement besides technology.
Yes.
Two comedies speak to that. One is Clerks, which is great. You're right. And then Swingers is the other.
Yeah. And Swingers made a lot of stars. So
yeah.
Swingers. Yes. Oh, you're so money.
You don't even know it. That movie is so good. Vince Vaughn and his first major role, I think. John Favreau, yeah, of course. Those were independent, quote unquote. They were independent movies, particularly Clerks. That was like the beginning of Kevin Smith.
Yeah, the beginning of Miramax, right?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
My opinion, by the way, Kevin Smith, one of the most overrated directors in the history of the cinema. I wouldn't go that far, but I like Clerks a lot. I even like Mallrats. I think Mallrats is
Is good.
I think Chasing Dogma Amy? Is where Chasing he started. Amy. That was pretty good too. Yeah. I think Dogma is where he started to lose it.
Yeah. Dogma. I like Dogma too.
I felt like it wasn't funny all the way through, and that's why I think he started to get all full of himself.
Kevin Smith is not the greatest. I mean, he's a nerd director. He really is a geek director because he's familiar with
He's made some real crap, dude.
Oh no, of course he has. But starting with Clerks, I mean, he had a good run in the early, in the part, big part of the 90s, he was part of the people that led the independent movie movement and all that.
Well, I'll give you that.
But those are worth definitely talking to. In terms of actors, I mean, obviously the 80s was dominated by Eddie Murphy. We had talked about that. I got one guy in mind. I think we all do. Too. But we're gonna talk about some names that. That we're talking about a lot. And I'll say the top dog, the comedic of the 90s, comedy star of the 90s. We got to talk about Mike Myers.
Yes.
He exploded out only in TV, SNL, but he gave us the Wayne's World.
Right.
Saw Mary Axe Austin Murder, Powers. Which is a very underrated movie.
No, I think Saw Mary Axe
Murder. And the Austin Powers movie. So he was really good.
That he has in that movie, by the way, oh, it's so bad.
It's so it's really, that's a 90s movie. There's no question about it.
Mushroom.
Yeah, that was really, really bad. Bill Murray, of course, and Robin Williams, two guys who make comedies in the 90s.
Bill Murray was the king of the 90s, I think.
Really? Not how one guy named, but Bill Murray was great. He had What About Bob?
Talking about comedy.
You have some
good movies that came down. His movies that came out.
Oh, no, great. Yeah. What About Bob? We talked about Groundhog Day. It was great. Adam Sandler. I know Mike, before you say anything. I'm not saying he's the greatest guy of all time. He was big in the 90s. Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Big Daddy. Yeah. They're not good movies, but
they're funny. I mean, he was funny early on. Waterboy's funny.
Waterboy in the 90s? Funny movie,
or 2000?
No, Big Daddy's right, Chewy. I think Waterboy.
I think it's 99.
I'll look it up now. But Adam Sandler was big.
I like that. What I like about Adam Sandler, and I think. Both you guys will agree with this. Very loyal to his peeps.
He is a 98 with Waterboy. So that's
okay,
so
yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, because his guys are in all his movies.
Oh, yeah. What's the guy? Snyder?
Rob Snyder's in all of them. Henry Winkler's in all
Henry Ring, yeah, the Fonz. Yeah, he showed up in a couple movies. Yeah.
The Fonz.
The Fonz got to eat too, man.
He put Chris Farley in movies. Chris Farley died, he had Chris Farley.
Who another guy's worthy of mentioning. I love Chris Farley. I mean, his work is great. And I love Tommy Boy. It's stupid comedy, but it's funny. But yeah, he was really good. And you're right, he was in his movies early on.
Spade, I think, was in a couple
David
of
Spade
movies.
As well. So another guy I wanted to mention, all that. But the top guy for me, and it's arguable, of course, but I think it's Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Am I wrong here?
Ace Ventura, Liar, Liar.
Yep. Dumb and Dumber. I don't like it, but I get it. It was a big movie. The Mask.
He did
Truman Show in the 90s as well.
Truman Show's amazing.
Yeah,
movie.
So, I mean, I think he was the Eddie Murphy of that era. I mean, he exploded. Ace Ventura was underrated. I love Ace Ventura. It's fantastic. It's so funny.
That is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Second Ace Ventura, though,
with Tone Loc.
Tone Loc, that's right. Oh my God, Tone Loc got to eat. He gave him good food in that era, because he's not eating now. He's not eating now. But Basement Tour, I mean, he was hilarious. He was a breath of fresh air. He really was so odd and out there.
Don't
go in there. I mean, Ace Ventura is classic comedy. But yeah, Jim Carrey, the top guy.
I have a story about that movie. Actually, is I took that. I checked that movie out of Blockbuster, and my oldest daughter, Crystal, who I think was 4 or 5 at the time, would not allow me to return that movie. And it just, like, I think the late charges that I paid on that crap were like $50. More than the damn thing.
You should have kept the movie.
She wouldn't let me return it. She loved that movie. She watched it 100 times.
The movie is funny, though. And the movie holds up. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it. But it's still funny.
It doesn't hold up. The music, by the way, the background music is just bloody awful. It doesn't hold up, but it's got some funny stuff still.
Oh, it's great. And Jim Carrey.
It just doesn't hold.
And Jim Carrey, yeah. And
the camera shots are really cheesy.
It's a low budget movie because it was a small movie.
It was made down here.
Yeah, and it blew up because, I mean, that was the first movie Jim Carrey did, and he became an instant sensation. I think he dominated that era more than any other comedian. And it wasn't good.
What's the movie that he did where Morgan Freeman was God? That was a big...
Oh, that's right. That was a funny movie too.
Yeah, but that came out in 2000s.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it 2000?
Yes, yes. Bruce Almighty.
Then Steve Carell did the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awful.
That's
But Bruce Almighty came out. I'll let you guys, 2003. Okay. But he had a great movie. I mean, it's an era we had where I could easily put my mind. That's 90s, 98, yeah. 90, 99.
How friggin' prophetic is that movie?
That's a good movie, too.
But how prophetic is it, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
How it predicted reality TV. Yeah. There was no reality TV then, like it is now. All this fake reality TV.
Yeah. It's exactly what it was. Yeah, 98.
Would you consider that a comedy, by the way? Because I wouldn't.
I don't. It's not a comedy. It's like a drama. Dramedy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a drama. Yeah. More drama than comedy.
A good movie, though. And
Harris, by the way.
And that was beginning of Jim Carrey kind of expanding to more dramas, which he did pretty well. We'll get into the next decade. He's one of my favorite movies of all time, which
he's
I talked about.
Horrible.
Yeah. Anyway, he's on crap now.
We'll the Majestic the next is show. Just
no, exactly, exactly.
I think he did Majestic at 98 or 99. That's really bad.
We'll forget about that one. Ain't no one buys 1,000, let's be honest. But let's move on to it. This is a category I'll probably talk on my own because I know you guys aren't fans of the genre per se, and that's the horror genre, which is a really bad era for horror, and I'm a huge horror fan. and I literally struggled to find... A number of movies that I thought that was a good horror movie. It was really bad era because the 80s was great.
I think you could include The Majestic in that.
That's a real bad. That's a horror movie in itself. But I mean, Misery. I'm not saying that's a horror movie. It was a good movie.
Didn't get out of the cockadoodle.
I like Misery, but I don't think it's a horror movie. But that came to mind. New Nightmare was really good, underrated. Jacob's Ladder.
That's a good movie, but I don't consider that a horror movie.
Yeah, Ringu. Actually came out in 1999 with the original, which is fantastic, which later became The Ring, the remake in the 2000s.
What about Scream?
That was the one I was going to get to where I think there's two that great horror movies I think were even game-changing. One, with Scream. I love Scream. Okay. Scream was that was a movie which was – it kind of turned the horror on its head, a very self-aware, very meta – self-referential, building on the trope, making fun of all the tropes that horror movies have gone through with the whole slasher movie, fresh, new, different.
I remember when we saw it in the theater, and I had no idea what it was. I think I'm not sure how we got into this movie. And I'm laughing, oh, this is funny, haha. And all of a sudden, they kill off.
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, and like. Oh shit! This is not a comedy.
No, at all. And that was a really, really good intro. You know, let's see with the phone thing. Yeah. I mean, that way hooked you from the beginning, and it still holds up. I've seen that recently, and then from there became a slew of copy. It was influential. Everybody started copying all these teenage kind of movies and all that. And then whether it be the Noche de la Summer,
they had the parody.
Of course, it became a parody after a while. But that movie was that one holds up. It's one of the great horror movies of all time. The other one. Not a great movie, but game-changing, since we're on the topic of game-changing and all that, was Blair Witch Project. You know, that one.
Oh, God, yes.
Doesn't hold up, and it wasn't a great horror movie. It's good, but, dude, every movie, it launched the whole, found footage which crap. Dominated the 2000s, and even now we still have found footage movies.
I can't stand those movies.
It is what it is, but it was the first one, and it was invented for what it was.
Herky-jerky camera work. This really bothers me.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a perfectionist. Maybe I'm a jerk, but I just don't get it.
it was different and innovative.
At least he admits he's a jerk, but we still love you.
Oh, we still love Mike. But not only that, but I think it also brought the era of the low-budget horror movie. You know, now because now I think we talked about it before, Blumhouse Productions, which is the major player in horror. Now they make movies for $4 to $10 million, and they're making 60, 70, 100 million. Even this year with Split, for example, they made that for $9 million. That grossed over 150 just domestically. Banking, but movies like The Purge and The Saws and always Insidious, all Conjuring, all these movies resulted
from ridiculous.
I'm saying, and they're made for nothing. And Blair Witch, because that Blair Witch made for like $20,000, and they made $130,000.
They're discovering talent and using talent that will work for nothing.
Of course,
or work for cheap.
Yeah,
will work for scale. Okay. Why sign somebody?
Yeah, but it's not only the talent. I mean, they're not spending $20 million on CGI.
You don't understand. If you put if you put three or four C to B players in a movie, not even A players, you're talking about the budget extrapolating because you make deals with these C to B players to be in your movies, and you give them pieces of the action. You give them a salary. The next thing you know, it's this. Your budget is huge, and to me,
counting the after and points after, because you know the money that if the movie doesn't make money, no one's getting paid.
Well, that's a good point.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah, and
if your budget is $10 million and you spend $1 million on salaries and everything else on production, and you can make $100 million, man, everybody's banking it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think with horror movies particularly, because a horror movie could be horrendous, when a lot of them are, I admit that. They always open from, I'll say, $8 to $20 million. It could be the worst movie ever. And it's a niche market, and they'll go watch it. You make a movie for $5 million, you'll make 20 opening weekend on a decent movie. You're good. End up making maybe 50 or 60 in the long run. You pay 5 to 10 with marketing. Your bank, and they're making money. And Blair Witch was, I think, the catalyst for that.
Right.
So it's definitely a super. If you like the movie or not, you can't deny its importance in terms of in that genre. Move on to it. This is one I had a really hard time with the action. I'm combining action, sci-fi, adventure, because a lot of these movies in the 90s kind of crossed over various. There's not just an action movie, it's a sci-fi movie. So I'm blending them all in.
True.
So I have a slew of names here, and I want to save three movies. I'll name a few. There's three big movies I'm going to wait till the end. We're going to talk about in detail. But I got movies like Con Air, in terms of action, True Lies, Face Off.
Con Air, dude, really?
That's a good action movie. It's cheese.
Face Off is a good action.
Face Off, Point Break, classic cheese. Point Break is classic cheese. Demolition Man, classic cheese. Total Recall.
The Three Shells.
Everybody loves that. Total Recall, I love Total Recall. It's cheesy, but it's great.
Man.
Die Hard 3, which I thought was really good, came out in the 90s.
With Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Way better than two.
Oh, no, of course. Leon the Professional. Fantastic.
Yes, that's a fantastic movie.
Falling Down.
Falling Down. I didn't have the good one. The Rock.
Yes.
Great movie. Mm-hmm. Come on. Speed. Another good one. Desperado. Blade. Hard Boiled. Very underrated movie. Moving on to more sci-fi. The Fifth Element. Great.
Luc Besson.
12 Monkeys. Great sci-fi.
Great sci-fi.
I'm a huge fan of that movie.
Great movie.
It's still a great movie.
For what I hear, it's a great movie. Really is. Dark City, another one. Very underrated movie. So I'm saving three here. Movies like Dark Man and The Crow. I like the beginning of the with Blade with this superhero era, which we know now.
The original Crow is very good.
Yeah, great movies. And that one, it still kind of holds up. The first Mission Impossible, it was good. I don't know if I put it up there, but whatever. But the three movies I think that obviously dominate more than anything else, and these all three were absolute classics and game changers. First one was T2.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah, best of all time, whether it be sci-fi action, however you want to label it.
Yes.
It fits in either category, best sci-fi action, whatever. T2 was fan-freaking-tastic. And let's forget, people talk about the CGI, how it started with those other movies. It really started with James Cameron, number one, in The Abyss back in the 80s, 87, 88. But it was T2 that had the first CG character with the T-1000, which still looks good today. Fantastic. That movie is so freaking good.
Robert Patrick.
Yeah, with his eyes that look. You know, that movie is so freaking good. Classic, holds up. I would say my number one in the 90s in terms of action, I think, personally.
It might be.
It's, you can debate it, because there's two of the movies you can toss in there. One of them will be Jurassic Park.
Yes.
That's classic.
I think T2 is better.
T2 better, but yeah, someone tells me Jurassic Park, I'm not hitting on it. Okay, fine.
I'm not, but if you want to look at the total package with story, acting performances, and effects, I think T2 is the best.
T2 for me is the best, but right. I mean, if someone tells me Jurassic Park, it's fine. Exactly. Jurassic Park was great, and that introduced CGI on a large scale. In the way that T2 didn't.
Yeah, it ran throughout pretty much throughout the movie.
Exactly. They used some practical stuff.
People were like, in the movie, I remember going to that in the movies, like opening night, and people were like going, ooh, ah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was like...
It was like, you know, just people had never seen anything like this.
Of course. It was a game changer for everybody, especially for the audience. We never seen anything like that. We saw T2, but not to this. It was just huge brontosaurus and T-Rexes and all
that. I mean, my point was that T2 is just a better movie.
I agree with you. And the third one was The Matrix.
Well, I agree with that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 99.
I mean, I would... I think I like The Matrix more than T2. Just for the
if I had never seen the second and third one, I might agree with you.
forget the sequels.
I think that
by itself,
the second and third movie spoiled the first movie for
no
me.
I disagree.
I enjoy the first movie, but I can watch the first one and forget 2 and 3 came out, and I love watching the first. I can still watch the first one. Holds up. The story was so unique, the effects were groundbreaking. Because everybody was copying that bullet time in every single movie.
Yeah.
Until they beat that horse to death. but the story behind it, I mean, you know, just the world that they built, that we were all in the machine and we're all just virtual and all this was just made up. It was just so way above anything at that time.
And how much work did Keanu Reeves get on that?
I'll say this. In terms of other, and this is one thing why I think T2 is a little, why I rank T2 ahead of The Matrix. You're right, Matrix was revolutionary, groundbreaking, bullet time. Everyone did this, they look at the movie, everybody was copying that. You see it all over the place. So influential.
Oh, yeah, man.
But from a story perspective, the presentation was unique and completely original.
Right.
But the story itself is not original. Dark City did exactly what that did before that.
Right.
And it's actually
Johnny Mnemonic. Johnny did it too.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. But even Terminator, the premise is the same thing. The computer's taking over the world. We're going back to Metropolis. Yeah. So, I mean, the story itself is not, I wouldn't say it's original. I would say more the presentation of the story and how they gave it to you. Yes, that was completely original. But no, you're right.
Also, you had no idea until when you saw the scene where he took the pill. You had no idea that he was living in a dream.
Or in a
computer world. Yeah,
yeah, it was so amazing. It was so well done. I put it right below T2.
So let me ask you a question. You're not gonna put Saving Private Ryan in the action movie genre?
No,
that's more drama.
Yeah, I have that listed, but it's more the drama.
There's a lot of action in that movie.
It was, but
and Braveheart.
Again, dramas.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they have action, but I mean, they're not an action, quote unquote, movie.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no, we're talking about those. And there were obviously discussion, but just a pure action. You're thinking T2, you're thinking Matrix and Speed or whatever, you know, The Rock or stuff like that. But those are the three big ones. But let's move on to the other category we talk about. You mentioned Private Ryan and Braveheart. As far as the thrillers and the dramas. And the sign, though, Chewie had to go, so he apologizes. You know, he's got a family and all that, so we thank Chewie for his time in the first half of this. But, Mike, thrillers, I mean, obviously, there's a lot. You're right, Braveheart, one of the best in the decade, no question. In fact, Ryan was phenomenal. Probably the best opening sequence of any movie in the 90s, I would say, easily. But we had movies like American History X, fantastic. Goodfellas.
Seven,
which I love. Seven.
Reservoir Dogs. There's a whole bunch of movies.
Fight Club, phenomenal. Silence of the Lambs, fantastic. User Suspects, which is...
You didn't mention Pulp Fiction because you're going to mention that later.
Yeah, I want to talk about it in a second. But User Suspects is one of the greatest endings of all time. Just one of my personal favorite movies of all time.
Box Talks, Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, absolutely. Schindler's List, fantastic movie. Good Will Hunting, absolutely love that movie.
Goodfellas.
I mentioned Goodfellas, one of the best, probably the best, well, right behind Godfather, according in terms of mobs and movies. Fargo, great.
Yes.
Unforgiven, fantastic. And the deconstruction of the Western was so good in that movie. Scent of a Woman, love that movie. Flowing like mud around here. Philadelphia, great movie. Sixth Sense, I didn't put that in a horror because it's not a horror movie. It's a drama, whatever, a thriller, I guess. But that, again, probably the best ending.
It's a thriller.
It's more of a drama. It's not a horror movie, so yeah, I wasn't sure where to put it.
It's kind of a
it's a mix. Yeah, exactly. But it had the best ending of the 90s, personally.
Psychological.
Thriller, drama. Yeah, drama. Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll create an own genre.
I created a new genre.
But that was the best ending of the decade, without
how
question.
How about Boys in the Hood?
I have Boys in the Hood, absolutely. With Cuba Gooding Jr., Lawrence Fishburne, not Chris Rock, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, yeah. I'm thinking of New Jack City.
I like New Jack City. The Last of the Mohicans, it's another great movie that people don't talk about. Like I said, and Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
God, a fantastic. I mean, all these movies I'm naming are great. Not just good, they're great movies, man. Right. The 90s were
stacked. Shawshank is considered by IMDb to be the number one movie of all time.
I
can't fight with
Can I
get a pee break, boss? What are you asking me that for?
This is your house. That's awesome. Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Another great movie. And that's funny because that year was Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption, and then Pulp Fiction, which I want to talk about, all on the running for best. I mean, what a great year of movies that is. Pulp Fiction, yeah, again.
I don't think we've seen a year like that.
That one. And those other good movies, but those three alone, like, wow. We're talking about three classic movies, as far as I'm concerned. Great all-timers.
That was
94. 94, yeah. And Pulp Fiction was, for me, as I talk about, again, in the theme of game-changing, that was a game-changer. Because that's the movie that really introduced the independent movement, if you will.
Leon the Professional was 94, too.
Yeah. Oh, so oh my God. Like, wow. What a year that was. But then Pulp Fiction was so good. And because it game changing in terms of the independent movement, but the story and that narrative as well. The story was not told linear. We hadn't seen that kind of thing before. It was over the top in terms of the graphic nature of it and the dialogue driven. Because it's Tarantino, that's what he does best. And we had Reservoir Dogs, but he took it to a new level in Pulp Fiction. But that movie was so freaking good. I mean, it was a great, Goodfellas is classic. I mean, this is loaded with classics. Schindler's List and Braveheart is considered one of the best ones. Who's a Suspect 7 and all these movies we're talking about. Dude, they're so freaking good.
So who, in your opinion, is the star of the 90s?
In terms of acting, I have a name. I have a name. I'm going to answer some of the honorable mentions. You know, De Niro. Yeah. I mean, he had Goodfellas, Heat, Cape Fear,
you know what,
Casino. I mean, those are great movies, though.
I have to put Leota ahead of him for that movie. I thought Leota really made
himself. He was great. Even Pesci was great in that movie. But I'm talking about just a collection of movies.
Right.
He had, like I said, I mean, he's there.
I don't know that he was a... He's not a guy I would go like Mr. 90s.
He's always a 90s, but I'm saying who excelled in the 90s.
That was his, he's excelled. That was his last era where he was...
Yes, really the last great decade, yeah. Right. But you know the same thing. That, Scent of a Woman, The Insider, Donnie Brasco. You mentioned this movie earlier. Caligula's Way,
right.
Heat as well with De Niro. Right. He had a lot of great movies.
Heat isn't a great, great movie. Heat is a very good movie. I'll tell you what, I prefer Ronin to Heat, honestly.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah,
wow.
I do. I think Ronin's a better
movie. I like Ronin. I
think Ronin's a better movie.
Wow, that's surprising to hear.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't like Heat. I'm saying that it's not as good as Ronin.
Jack Nicholson was big in the 90s. Yes. A Few Good Men, another way that he mentioned, which is a good movie. That was a great movie. It's a good movie. He had that. He had As Good As It Gets. He had Hoffa. You know, that's from Mel Gibson.
Batman Returns in the 90s too, right?
That was 90s, yeah. Mel Gibson was big in the 90s. Yes. Bruce Willis, really big in the 90s.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey, obviously.
Bruce Willis did some real stinkers.
He did, but he had a good stuff too. Yeah. Let's make no mistake about it. I always mention Daniel Day-Lewis because you always have to. Kevin Spacey.
You're going to take my guy. You know, I can feel it coming.
Morgan Freeman's a guy. Brad Pitt's a guy.
Oh, see, Brad Pitt was my guy.
Let's talk about Brad Pitt. I mean, he in 90s, he was great.
No. In the 90s, there was three or four big movies that he was in that you can't.
Oh, no, wait. The 12 Monkeys, Fight Club, which was fantastic.
12 Monkeys, Fight Club. 12 Monkeys, Fight Club.
Interview with the Vampire. He did Legends of the Fall, I think he was in. Demon Louise.
Legends of the Fall is a very underrated movie.
It's a good movie. Very good movie. I agree.
Directed by Robert De Niro, by the way.
Yeah. Good movie. Very good movie.
The other one that he did was Chrome.
We did Bantamweight Vampire, Thelma & Louise, California. I think that was in the 90s. But you're right. I thought about him. He was close to being representative of the 90s.
Seven.
Yes, of course. Yes. He was my second or third choice for the 90s. If I get to my number one, other guys, Kevin Costner's worth mentioning. Ed Norton, worth mentioning, yes, in the 90s. He was American ACX and others. Tom Cruise, you know, Jerry Maguire, A Few Good Men, Mission Impossible, Vampire. He did a lot of good movies. Magnolia. Great role in Magnolia.
Magnolia's not a great
movie. Not a good movie, but he had a great role in it. He's fantastic. Anthony
That's
Hopkins.
It's kind of like the movie that he did with Stiller.
Tropic Thunder. Yeah, he's like...
He's great in that movie. That movie blows. He's great in it.
He's great. Both of those movies are so good. Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah,
he's worth Howard Zinn. He's in Dracula, Legend of the Fall, Nixon. That's not a good one. Denzel Washington. He's with Malcolm X, Philadelphia. Worth mentioning. Keanu Reeves. He blew up in the 90s. He's not a great actor, but Speed.
Oh no, he got a ton Matrix. Of work off of the tail of Matrix.
Yeah, I mean he was. I mean yeah, he became a huge star that decade. And he was a great mention. But number one, I don't think it was close, to be honest with you. I like Brad Pitt, but it was Tom Hanks.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, he blew up. That's when, I mean, he was starting to come up big in the late 80s and all that, but man, Forrest Gump, Philadelphia, Saving Private Ryan, Apollo 13, he was nominated like 4 or 5 times for the Oscars. Yeah. I mean, it's he was the 90s.
No,
I'm
just talking about from my
favorites. Oh, no, of course, absolutely. And the Brad Pitt's not a bad choice, but it's hard to argue against Tom Hanks, it is, to be realistic. Yeah. But I mean, he was great. I think he owned that decade, no doubt about
Joe
it.
Joe Black was in the 90s too.
I didn't like that one much, but it was the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, I think.
It's not bad.
With Hopkins as well, if I'm not mistaken. Directors, a lot of good stuff here. We talked about Coen Brothers earlier.
Yeah, I think Coen Brothers and Spielberg are probably up there.
No, they're left there. There's three guys I was going to heavily on.
Cameron.
James Cameron, of course, he blew up in the 90s with True Lies, The Terminators, Titanic, for better or worse.
Say what you want, but I mean, you can't find two bigger movies than T2 and Titanic.
Oh, Titanic was a monster. Financially, it was the biggest movie until his other movie, Avatar, or dethroned it. David Fincher.
The Game,
on the rated movie. I love that movie. Seven, of course, Fight Club. Luc Besson, the Femme Fatale and Fifth Element. Michael Mann, Insider. Last of the Mohicans, Heat. Scorsese, Goodfellas, Casino, Cape Fear. He's worth mentioning. Tim Burton, Batman Returns, Mars Attacks. Edward Scissorhands was in the 80s, I think. No, Edward Scissorhands was in the 90s.
Yeah.
In the 90s, another great movie. Spike Lee, he came up in the 90s. But it came down for me, James Cameron, Tarantino.
Tarantino.
I mean, Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and right. Jackie Brown was okay, but I mean, his influence and he was a game-changer director.
He also wrote
True Romance. Yeah. He had a big decade. Spielberg was huge, man. I'm saying he's not number one, but he was huge. He had, we talked about earlier, Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against. I mean, it's Spielberg, but I'm, as far as top guy, I guess Cameron might be a top guy. I don't know.
Here's my Spielberg anti thing. Not anti. The dude could make whatever movie he wanted to, you know, and it would have made money because his name was tied to it. There were very few movies that he made that didn't make money, whether they're considered good in the court of public opinion or not. So, I mean, I just think that he didn't have any kind of adversity when it came to making movies, where some of these other guys had some, you know, made some great movies. The Coen brothers, I'll use as an example, made a ton of great, considered great movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Yeah, absolutely. But Spielberg's still the man. I mean, Spielberg.
Also, Richard Linklater, I want to mention him. I think
he
had some good stuff.
He did. You're right.
What's the other guy, Crumb? the guy that did Dead Man and Ghost Dog, The Way of the Ninja. That guy had Dead Man was a really good movie. Flip, Tim Burton did Ed Wood, which is one of my favorite movies.
Ed Wood,
movies, of the 90s.
Tim Burton, also his last good decade was the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because he's, I don't like him now, but
he's done some terrible.
And he was very stylistic, and he was big in the 90s. It's a lot of good directors, man. The 90s was packed. There's no question about it.
Definitely.
I mean, absolutely stacked. Actresses, we didn't mention actresses. I don't want to leave the women out. you know, as far as the big actresses. I have a number one. I think it's pretty clear, but Sandra Bullock was big in the 90s. Nicole Kidman, Gina Davis, Meg Ryan, Sharon Stone blew up in the 90s with Basic Instinct, you know.
Probably the biggest one.
No, I got one that tops that easily. Michelle Pfeiffer was big. Meryl Streep, you always got to mention Meryl Streep, like you got to mention Daniel Day-Lewis. Susan Sarandon had a big 90s as well. But we'll start at Mount Rushmore here, and we'll start with her because she represents the 90s perfectly, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, she blew up in I Spy with Pretty Woman 1990, right. Sleeping with the Enemy, Hook. She was for a time had seven movies, and back then it's a big deal. Now it's not a big deal, but back then she made seven movies in a row that hit $100 million. Never done before. I mean, she was killing it. It was her show. It was her world. Her and Tom Hanks. Those two are in the Mount Rushmore, as far as I'm concerned. The other two, I'm having trouble with who I put in Mount Rushmore. And I'm thinking, it could be directors. I'm thinking, I guess I put Jim Carrey there. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, probably.
Jim Carrey. And then, I don't know, man. I want to put Tarantino up there, too.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's what I'm leaning towards. And before we go, I mean, we did this last time with the 80s. So I want to kind of go over the big moments, you know, the lasting images, the ones I get put on all the montages, the moments and the quotes, scenes that everybody knows, whether you've seen the movie or not. And there's tons. I found more in the 90s than I did in the 80s, which surprised me. And we had, of course, Show Me the Money.
Right.
Everybody, Jerry Maguire. Great movie. Great scene. Fantastic
quote. That's a movie we didn't even mention either.
Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot to mention that. That's a really good movie. Again, Cameron
Crowe directed
it.
That movie is so quotable. Help Me to Help You.
Oh, my God. That movie is fantastic. Cuba Gooding Jr. is brilliant, that movie.
I'm Here for My Wife.
You Had Me at Hello. Oh, my God. It's just the kind of... Even the song was great by Bruce Springsteen. He had a good song in there. Great movie, but that... Show Me the Money was that... That's the quote.
Show Me the Money.
That's fantastic.
Didn't Cuba Gooding Jr. win a freaking Oscar?
Yeah, he won supporting actor for that role. As showing us the Quan.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot his name. Oh, Rob Tidwell. There we go. And Rod We Trust playing the Arizona receiver. The dance scene in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot the name of that joint that they went to. Doing the twist. God damn. That scene as well, the opening scene. Brilliant scene with that one, Pulp Fiction, with, you know, obviously, yeah, the whole. Not that scene, but the second scene, I guess,
when they're going up to the
Kahuna Burger. Right. You're right. Does he look like a bitch? What? Say what? One more time. Great scene.
Run. Can I interrupt your concentration?
Yeah. Allow me to retort. That's a quote of a movie. Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah.
Great. I'm Forrest Gump. Everybody knows that.
I gotta pee.
Blair Witch, that scene with that girl talking to the camera, that's an iconic scene. Everybody knows that one. Back and to the Left, JFK. Is one of my personal favorite quotes, and Unforgiven, he should have armed himself after shooting the unarmed man. Great quote. Great visual, Home Alone, you mentioned earlier, and Macaulay Culkin's slapping the cheeks after that. That's iconic as you can get.
You're a couple of idiots.
That's a classic scene as it is. The ear scene in Reservoir Dogs with Michael Madsen, the soccer song they play. Another one I didn't mention, but a great scene everybody knows, of course, is Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh my God.
ABC.
We didn't even mention
I know.
That.
Always I be closing. I mean, classic. That scene's one of my favorite scenes.
Winner gets a new Cadillac, second place,
steak knives. I mean, just put coffees for closers. Coffees for closers. I mean, that's just I put one of the best scenes in the 90s. Top five scene.
Very, very, very. If any of you morons out there haven't seen this,
Grimway. It's on Netflix.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's a must watch. And that scene with Alec Baldwin is absolute gold. It's gold. Talking about gold scene. You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yeah.
Classic Jack Nicholson.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
I mean,
that's a great movie.
That's a good one. It's a good, very good movie. But that courtroom scene, everybody knows that scene. It's Jesus.
You need me on that wall.
It's a great scene. The beginning of Lion King, of course, with the music and lifting Simba. That's a classic visual. The freedom speech and Braveheart.
Yes.
Absolutely classic. Mission Impossible. Him dangling down in the vault. And it's all quite great classic scene. I See Dead People. Sixth Sense.
That was what was that movie? 98 or 99?
99. Just got into the cutoff point. Yeah. I hate this movie, but ID4, the explosion of the White House. That's an iconic visual. I know it's terrible, but it's eat his liver. You know, with a nice bottle of Chianti, fava beans, and that's Chianti. That's classic scene. Basic Instinct, the legs. Yeah. I was a teenage boy. That was a great movie. It's a great movie. But when you're that age, it's a great movie. It really was. Of course, What's in the Box? Seven. Yeah. What's in the box? What's in the damn box? Jurassic Park, the glass, the water shaking, the rumbling on the T-Rex footprint. That's an iconic scene. People know that scene. When he escapes the prison in Shawshank Redemption, he's raising his arms in the air with the rain on him. Great scene. The Matrix, the bullet time when he's on top of the roof. Now the whole sequence, probably the best action sequence of the 90s. Was when they're trying to save Morpheus and they went to the lobby area.
The scene of that movie is the karate studio fight scene between.
That was great too.
Between Lawrence Fishburne
and Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves. When he learns Kung Fu.
Figures out that he's got all these friggin' gifts.
Yeah.
That to me is like.
That's a great scene. That's really a fantastic scene.
And then the You Are the One scene, which is amazing.
So. You're the One, Free Your Mind. It's a great good line.
He's the One.
He's, oh my God. Great. That's such a good movie. But those are the visuals. This is great. And like I said, this iconic moments in the 90s. And it's surprising how good the 90s were. And I think are superior to the 80s. And I never thought I'd be saying that before we did this retrospective. But man, it's just too many good movies in the 90s not to.
You know what movie we didn't mention that I really like, by the way? I think it deserves mention is Tombstone.
Thank you. No, you're right. Yes. I'll be a Huckleberry.
Yeah.
That's another great line. That was probably Val Kilmer's best role.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry. Great. What a great movie that is. So we'll leave it at that. That will be a 90s retrospective. I mean, I guess a great decade. We'll touch on the 2000s next week. Of course, we just dropped our last episode a few days ago. Hope everyone has a great Independence Day. We want to save up. I want to end this way. We're not going to do our usual goodbyes. I'm going to end this with one of the favorite scenes of the 90s. Okay, since we're talking about 90s and iconic scenes and all that. Right at the end of The Usual Suspects, of course, Kevin Spacey, and he's talking about, you know, when he's showing all the editing cuts and he's being revealed, spoiler alert, that he's Kaiser Soze. And
I think if they haven't seen it by now, they're
not. Oh, and they should see it. But he's talking about the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to make the world he didn't exist.
Right.
And like that, we're gone.